Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Now, last week, the Taoiseach speculated that a no-deal Brexit would lead some Northern Unionists to consider the prospect of Irish unity. His comments come at a time when, again inspired by Brexit, thousands in Britain with quite distant Irish family connections have been applying for Irish passports. So this evening here on Drive Time, we're asking, what is Irish identity and is it flexible enough to adapt to what the future might hold? I'm joined by three people with different experiences of Irishness, by Nick Matsey, who grew up and lived most of his life in Somerset. As a British soldier, he served in Northern Ireland for 5 years until 2014. Since Brexit, he's explored his Irish heritage. He's now an Irish citizen and an Irish passport holder. Emma D'Souza is a Derry woman who challenged the UK Home Office for deeming her to be British when her US-born husband applied for a residence card. And I'm also joined by Patricia McBride, a lawyer and political commentator, also from Derry. Nick, to you, first of all, and you've been writing about your story in the Irish Times. Why did you, like so many others over the last 3 years, decide to apply for an Irish passport after that Brexit vote?
Well, I think it began quite simply with a desire to retain European Union access, to be able to travel freely and to ensure that the rights for myself were never lost. I voted Remain. I still strongly believe we should remain united in the European Union. And the shock of it meant that I went and explored what my opportunities were, my options, and taking up an Irish passport via my grandmother was the best option I had to make sure I could keep those rights.
And then you went further than that, and to quote yourself in that article, you said you realised you didn't want to be a plastic paddy.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'd lived in Northern Ireland for 5 years. I have a bit of experience of the country, and I absolutely loved it and a lot of friends out there. And as I noticed the values of Ireland where it was shifting more in line with my own, with votes that were quite socially changing taking place, and the United Kingdom instead becoming much more conservative. I used to be a Conservative Party member. I at one point was a candidate. And yet I found the whole country has shifted in a direction, and that party has, that I no longer feel in line with my values, whereas I find the country of Ireland actually is much more in line with my values. And therefore, being Irish, more than just having a passport to, you know, get around the European Union, became a bigger thing than it had done on the day of the Brexit vote.
Emma D'Souza is with us, with us as well. Emma, you've been on the programme before with us as well. Tell us about that ongoing battle that you have with the British Home Office.
Hi, Mary. Yes, thanks for having me. Well, we are actually currently going back to court next month. This has been going on now for 4 years and astoundingly began when I applied for my husband's residence card. He's a US national. Now, I'm an Irish citizen, Irish by birth. I've been Irish my whole life. It was never a choice or a decision. It is simply who I am. And when I put in that application, the British Home Office responded by saying that I was actually a British citizen by birth in Northern Ireland. And if I would like to stabilise my husband's status, I would first have to accept that I was British, renounce being British, and then I would finally be accepted as Irish. Now, I obviously appealed that decision and we have had some success through the courts. But the Home Office is maintaining that appeal and maintaining the view that I am a partly British first, Irish second.
And let me bring Patricia in as well, because, you know, you've been listening there to Nick describing what Irishness means to him. Is he as Irish as you are?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And I think that your Irish identity is enshrined in there's not a really good English word for Dinshanahas, but it's about that sense of belonging, that sense of being part of not just the physical space, but of the community. And as Nick said, he lived here for 5 years and we have met, so, you know, we know each other. And you know, that sense of identity is something that's shared by the 1 in 6 people who make Ireland their home, who were not born in the Republic of Ireland that now live here. I'm someone who works with refugees and asylum seekers, and these are people who choose to be Irish, choose to come to this country and make their home here because they see it as a safe and a warm and a welcoming country. And I think Nick is right in what he says, that we do need to look as a nation on what we can do to make use of the new Irish. They're not less Irish, they're just new. And so what can we do? What practical steps can we as a nation do? And that's around ensuring that we harness the skills in the workplace, whether we harness the diversity, that we look at accommodating and not assimilating culture and identity. So it's around ensuring that we embrace all of that diversity that has made us probably more socially progressive than many other countries. We've taken a lot of steps in that direction in quite a short period of time.
Okay, just before I go back to the others to talk about how we utilise a resource as much as anything else, if I made a decision to go and live in Germany and I mm-hmm. embraced a German way of life, does that make me a German?
Well, I suppose it depends on your sense of belonging and your sense of engagement with that community. And I think you raised an interesting point in the introduction as well about Northern Unionists starting to consider the question of Irish unity. And I think that that's something that's, you know, it's tied in with Brexit. Undoubtedly, Brexit has brought this issue forward.
Is it tied in with economics?
Well, it's tied in with economics and it's tied in with free movement and it's tied in with identity and it's tied in with education and well-being. I mean, it's such a complex issue. Yeah. But, you know, the idea that unionism are now starting to consider unity should be something that we work on. And when the Taoiseach last night was saying that, you know, he said last night in his comments at Fela and Fubble in West Belfast that a united Ireland, people must realise that a united Ireland would involve a different state with
constitution. And, let me go back to Nick and to Emma. Nick, you talked about the resource that is now available to Ireland, to the Irish government. You're talking about yourself. And the other people who have chosen to explore their Irish heritage and to have Irish passports and embrace Irish citizenship, what can we do with you?
Well, there's a variety of choices, really. I mean, it could be anything as loose as considering us as ambassadors for the nation, and I don't mean necessarily representing, I mean connecting as we are between my British citizenship, my British side and my Irish side. You know, there's a lot to be done to bring our two nations closer together at the moment, particularly as there's so much, I would say, attempts at division in the media here and in the government to make sure that the Irish border issue and the Irish backstop issue around Brexit doesn't prevent them from delivering that Brexit. And I think that causes issues between our social cohesion, which is a huge shame because there's been so much work there to bring us together. So everything from ambassadors and communication and building that engagement all the way to discovering the skills that we have, looking at the skills gaps within the Republic of Ireland. I think there's so much opportunity for growth and development within the nation itself that it now has a whole pool of people all over the world choosing to be Irish that could have brilliant skills, education and experience that Ireland doesn't have and can make use of.
And yet, Emma, in our ongoing relationship with our nearest neighbour, is Brexit not driving a major wedge between us?
In many ways, you could say it is. And then on the other side, you have people like Nick, who I welcome. Hi, Nick. Who actually are coming closer and we're coming closer together in that. And I think that's because of shared values. I think that the Brexit vote was incredibly close at 52-48. And the chaos that has ensued afterwards has led people to start looking towards Ireland and towards being an Irish citizen because of our shared values and the progressive nature of being an Irish citizen. And I think that in many ways we are actually becoming closer through Brexit and through those shared beliefs and values.
And you see, Emma, if in the future we were to have reintegration of Ireland north and south, have you given thought to changes there would need to be perhaps to emblems, to anthems, even maybe the name of the country?
I mean, if we look at history, we look at what Nelson Mandela done. I mean, these are things that would have to be considered because we have to take into account the unionists that live here in Northern Ireland and how are they going to feel in a united Ireland? I think it was James Nesbitt that did a piece recently around the language, even the choice of word, a united Ireland. Is that welcoming to someone who identifies as British? Is it welcoming to someone who wants to remain part of the United Kingdom? And I think that we do have to look at some of that language. We would have to look at things like the national anthem and the flag, and I don't think that there's anything that we shouldn't be talking about. We should be talking about every possible way that we can include everybody in the conversation. We can find ways that people feel comfortable and welcome. And I think if we look towards the Good Friday Agreement, which has in it that right to be Irish or British or both and accepted as such, it is important and essential that that is maintained in any future reunification where someone in Northern Ireland who identifies as British mm-hmm. and wants to be British maintains that.
Patricia?
Well, there are two very important developments that have happened this week in relation to the debate on reunification. And one is the move by Senator Mark Daly to have the issue of reunification included on the National Risk Register, which means that government has to start taking cognizance of what the issues around reunification will be. And the second is that yesterday John Campbell from the BBC tweeted an article, an academic piece by two ESRI economists, Seamus McGuinness and Adele Bergen. And this is a peer-reviewed piece of research around the political economy of a border poll. And it sets out very, very clearly issues around health, education, foreign direct investment, income gaps. And surprisingly, within that document, you'll see that there actually are a lot of similarities between the North and South. For example, the average income in the North of Ireland is comparable to the income in the Midlands border and western region of the Republic of Ireland. Healthcare spending, people are paying their out-of-pocket expenses are practically identical, the amount. So there's a lot of similarities that are already there.
We must talk as well, though, about on the emotional front, not just on the economic big picture front. You're a Northern nationalist. Do you ever feel that Southern nationalists view you as less Irish?
Well, I think I definitely do, and I think one of the most recent manifestations of that has been around the already negative responses to the proposals by government to bring forward a referendum on the extension of presidential voting rights to citizens outside of the state. And the arguments around that are issues of no representation without taxation, which doesn't make sense because, you know, there are so many people in the state who don't pay taxes for various reasons, and issues around, but the biggest concern appears to be who the citizens in the North or citizens in the diaspora might vote for. Well, you know, that's gerrymandering at best and fascism at worst. You can't deny people a right to vote because you're afraid of who they might vote for. You don't like the idea of it. So I think that that's something that over the course of the campaign, is something that Emma and I will be talking about tomorrow night in Derry, in fact, as part of the Gashard Fianna, those issues will start to be exposed, and it'll be an opportunity, I think, for people who identify as Irish living in the North of Ireland to feel that they have a vested interest in the state. If they're given the opportunity to vote for the head of state, then they can feel that they belong. They can feel that their
sense of ownership.
It's a sense of ownership and it's a sense of belonging, and it's a first step on a way to, as I said, integrating and not assimilating.
Nick, you're English born and raised. You've worked in Northern Ireland. You've now chosen to be an Irish man. Do you notice differences? You live in Northern Ireland. The differences between being a Northern Irish man, being an Irish man, being a Southern Irish man.
I mean, not really. I mean, my experience has been focused very much on the North. I think what Patricia says is particularly interesting because my understanding are that there are some people who would try to define what is Irishness and whether you are as much if you're from the North or the South. And there were many comments in the Irish Times regarding people like me that have decided, you know, I only lived in Northern Ireland for a few years I was an Englishman there. And so therefore being outside Ireland completely and defining myself as Irish is very difficult for some people to overcome. But I think it comes back to that question of what is Irishness and how anyone is less or more. And I think that's a strange perspective to take. And I think both Emma and Patricia put it very well when they talk about refugees coming to Ireland, choosing to be Irish. There are other countries in the world similar to that as well. The American approach is that once you become an American citizen, you know, you have chosen to be an American, which is better than being born American because you've actually wanted to go and strive to be that and share the values. So I don't know particularly what the differences would be. I wouldn't say I noticed much of a difference, and I'm not particularly sure it matters that much, actually, as long as people sort of subscribe to the concepts of the freedoms of the country and the rule of the law.
Emma, if you want to come in here, is Irishness, Emma, is it exclusive? You know, you have Northern Unionists saying In many cases, they view Irishness as something that perhaps doesn't and couldn't include them.
For example, we had Gregory Campbell last night at the Féile say that his Britishness is not up for negotiation. And we do have quite, entrenched views of identity in Northern Ireland. And that's why we have parity of esteem and identity in the Good Friday Agreement and why it is so essential that we have that right to be accepted as Irish or British or both. But just to talk about that issue around Irish or British or both, that is currently not being respected by the British government and is something that is becoming quite untenable in Northern Ireland. And I think that Irishness is not exclusive, it is inclusive, and it is something that we should all aspire to be a part of. Just to touch on what Patricia said about a difference between Irish in the South and Irish in the North, I have also encountered that numerous times. And as an Irish citizen born on the island of Ireland, it is quite difficult for me to have someone say that I've never lived in the country or lived in the state, and that somehow makes me lesser or secondary, whenever in fact I have had to defend my Irish identity in the very courts, and I've had to put evidence towards the British government stating things like, I did Irish dancing as a child, does that make me Irish enough to be classed as Irish?
Proving your credentials.
Exactly. So we actually have to go through quite a difficult process in Northern Ireland. We have to defend our Irishness, we have to stand up for it, and that doesn't make us less Irish.
You know, Patricia, we've had a number of citizens' assemblies on a variety of issues. Is a citizens' assembly something that could grapple with this whole question of Irish identity?
Well, I think a citizens' assembly that would look at the issue of identity or reunification needs to be one that includes Irish citizens, not just from the electoral roll in this part of Ireland. So it needs to be a broader discussion. And I mean, if you go back to the point that Emma made there about Gregory Campbell, I grew up in the North. I was born and raised in the North of Ireland, and I didn't feel any less Irish because I was living under British rule. And I don't think that Gregory Campbell would feel any less British if he was living under Irish rule. And the job of all Republicans, whether they be in Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael or Sinn Féin, is to convince unionists that their identity, their British identity, would be protected.
Nick, do you have to convince your English friends that you're now Irish?
It does actually come up quite often, and it's interesting, depending on the groups that I'm in, what they'll say. What I say to them is I am an Irish national now, and it's my choice of identity when I travel abroad.
You still, of course, Nick, would have a British passport.
Yes, I do.
So which do you use?
My Irish one.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
When I choose to travel abroad, for a couple of reasons, I'm proud to carry it. And if I travel outside the country, it's something that's a talking point amongst my friends as well. And to go abroad and talk about Brexit constantly is absolutely exhausting. You know, it's quite nice to escape the country and not talk about it for once. And it's nice to go abroad and be proud of your national heritage. And people get quite offended, actually, when I say about that. And there's a lot of friends of mine who are very angry at me that I might say I'm a bit ashamed at the way Britain acts in the world today. And I am especially ashamed that the way Britain acts in regard to its closest neighbour of Ireland. And I have a lot of friends in Northern Ireland and the Republic that feel the United Kingdom doesn't care and isn't caring about them particularly. And that's some of the issues. So it's good to hear what Emma's views are. And I think Emma's absolutely right. The British government needs to do more.
Must leave this discussion of Irish identity for today. Nick Matsey, thank you very much. Emma D'Souza and Patricia McBride, thank you all for joining us on Drive Time.